This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Hello, and with me, Cam Ruslan, today we have the returns of... She's a stand-up comedian, and she's a TV producer and a writer. She is Charmaine Othman.
Hello.
And we have also the return of... He is a content producer and a producer in general, and Mr. Production. He is Zalfian Fuzi.
Hello.
Hi. And so our three topics this week are topic number one is close-ups. Topic number two is scams. And finally, K-pop. So hang around, all you young listeners. So topic number one, close-ups. The weirdness of close-ups. So there I was. I was walking down the streets of Shanghai, you know, as one does.
Yes.
And I was looking at the posters, the big advertising posters.
Yeah.
And I saw these adverts for watches and whatnot. And there was these photographs of these Hollywood stars, and there were these sports people that I know. And then next to them also were these big posters of these China stars.
Okay.
Who I don't know.
Yep.
So they were just faces, and they were completely shorn of their, you know, the kind of cultural history and the meaning behind it. They were just faces. And I thought, they're just really ordinary faces. Because mm-hmm. I don't know who the hell they
yep.
are.
Mm-hmm.
And then it made me look at the people I do know, and I thought, my God, these people are so ordinary. These movie stars.
Mm-hmm.
So
through the close-ups, you find them ordinary?
No, they are ordinary. If you take away the meaning of the films and the produce that they've come up with, they're just ordinary.
Yeah.
And one of the things about movies are supposed to be the most realistic of mediums. Mm. But they're very unreal. And one of the most unreal things, something that really, I actually, when I see it, I love seeing it, but it does make me feel odd.
Yeah.
Close-ups. Mm. Because with movie stars, we are invited to stare at their faces.
Yeah.
And we can, but we don't normally in real life. We're not allowed to stare at people. I'm deliberately almost like really looking at Charmaine now. But it's not something I'd naturally do.
Yeah.
And it feels very uncomfortable.
It's very rare that you would like... Yeah. When you talk to someone, it's like constant eye engagement.
Yeah. But with these people, we can. And apparently when the movies first began in the 20s, a lot of audiences, when they went to the movie theaters and they saw the first close-up where a human face is 20 feet wide, people were fainting.
Wow.
Because it was just so weird. You're used to theater where they're on the stage way over there, the little dots.
Yeah.
And now suddenly you see this face. And the first movie star was this woman called Theda Bara.
Yeah.
And if you look at her now, you think, well, she's a really weird looking woman. Ideas of beauty changed dramatically in about 10 years from the 1920s and 1930s. A Hollywood star from the 30s, we would still think of as being very beautiful.
Yeah.
But if you see them from the 20s, they're like, they look really weird. Because they had not yet found the look that worked for the close-up.
That's camera friendly, right?
Mm.
Yeah.
And so we kind of feel that movies are realistic. I think they're really weird.
Actually, like, you know, you're saying how from stage and then they move to screen, right?
Mm.
And so when you watch a movie on the big screen and then you see all the actors and they're all like blown up, right? They sort of become like gods.
Mm.
Then that just translates into like the whole fandom thing, the whole celebrity thing. So I think it's very, very intentional.
It is intentional, yeah. And the publicity machines work to boost that.
Yep.
But they're all just ordinary people.
Yeah.
Actually, yeah, they are.
Well, that's the whole thing about film, right? Because the camera is the storyteller, right? So they're deciding what you can see or what you should see, right? So even those close-ups of those eye shots where there's like, it's just the eyes and the actor's just acting with the eyes. Mm. I find that very interesting. Like the emotions are just being told just by eyeballs and the tearing up and the swelling of the eyes to show something that's sad or emotional or angry, right?
Mm.
So it's, I guess it's just an evolution of storytelling.
Because that actually reminds me, one of the early experiments in film was to, I think it was Russians that did it, that they'd created this sense of montage. So you've cut together shots.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They can be almost random. You put them together and then you put a piece of music to it.
Mm-hmm.
And it could be happy, happy music.
Yeah.
And you invite the audience to respond to these shots. Yep, yep. And they're happy, happy because the music, you know what I mean? But then you put sinister music and then it's like the same shots are terrifying.
Yeah. Completely different.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so the filmmaker can, and again, the publicity machine, can create myths, if that's the right word, out of these characters, I think that we all fall for.
Yeah.
And happily fall for.
Definitely. So it's all in the editing.
Yeah. But both of you are content producers in your own way.
Yeah.
So you're in the business of creating fiction, and the actual machine that you're working in is a fiction-making machine in itself.
Yeah.
So you're a bunch of liars, aren't you?
We are. Of course we are.
We tell
lies about the truth.
Yeah. So you can. Can you tell the truth? Is there, I mean, it's all manufactured.
It's all manufactured. You try to be as realistic, as naturalistic, but you will never get anything authentic. Unless it's like a documentary, I guess. But even then, you know, it's still sort of somewhat fabricated.
It is, yeah.
Yeah.
But even this whole thing that you're talking about now has taken over social media, right? This idea of the close-up. So I just recently read an article about how people are viewing themselves differently because of the selfie, right? Which is an arm's length away photo, right? So the way people's noses are appearing in photos are completely different now than how they were before selfies, right? And also, it's also because it's how you see yourself in the mirror, right? So when you look at yourself in the mirror, your left is your left and your right is your right.
Yeah.
But when I look at you, it's totally different, right? So your right is actually my left.
Even on radio.
Yes, even absolutely, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So how people are interpreting their own personal close-up has changed because of the selfie social media, which is essentially a close-up.
And people are dissatisfied with themselves?
Well, they've actually had to, in this article, they were actually saying how people view themselves differently. So a photo of them, of their selfie, is completely different from another person taking a photo of you.
Yeah.
Right. So that just in mentally how they are viewing themselves has changed. Right. And then they have apps also to make your nose, bigger or smaller, however it is you
beauty
want.
Beauty filters.
Yeah, beauty filters and whatnot.
Because I remember I was in TV production back in the 90s. And so when we were casting, people would send in photographs of themselves.
Yeah.
And if they were not professional actors, the photographs, time and time again, the photographs they would send
would be in the swimming pool.
Stuff like that. stuff with them on holiday.
It's really cool to just see the head.
No, but the photographs would be them really small,
yeah,
way in the distance, right, standing. Invariably, it was always that.
In Genting.
Yeah.
Right?
In Genting. Exactly. Not even just Genting. It's that French town on the way up to Genting. Yeah. Always be there, and they'd be really small. And you'd be like, well, how do I cast this person?
Yeah.
But now I guess everybody has a selfie.
Yeah.
Everybody has a selfie, everybody has a camera. Therefore, everybody thinks they're a celebrity now.
So everyone's their own storyteller.
Yeah. Okay. So we move on from that, though. But I just want to, folks, just think about it. When you're watching the movies, it's just like, this is weird. The whole everything about the movies is just strange.
Actually, when you think about it, extreme close-up, you would never go up to someone like...
Yeah, that's right.
Right? It's have a conversation.
And also, you're thinking, I'm sensing they're going to say something meaningful. I bet they got really close to their face at that moment.
Maybe if I move slowly, like a dramatic move,
And is that piano I hear in the background? Yeah, exactly. So anyway, we'll move on from that to topic number two, Zalfion, scams.
Yes. So I probably get in a day at least like 3 different phone calls.
Wow.
Of, these telemarketer scam types of people, whether it's, do you want to buy insurance? Do you want to buy membership for this? You're going to die of cancer. You better, get this. Or someone from the bank trying to tell me that my credit card's been, hacked. So I'm just amazed at all these attempts by, very bad people at trying to scam people, and also shocked at how many people actually fall for these scams.
Yeah.
And it's actually really, really sad, right? Because there's all types of scams. There's the famous Macau scam. There's the pyramid scam.
I saw that. What's the Macau scam?
I haven't heard of the Macau scam.
It's the new one.
It's the latest.
So someone calls from Macau.
It's the bestseller scam.
Actually, I have to admit, I very nearly fell for one. Quite recently. And looking back on it, I think, what the hell was I thinking?
Were you gullible?
I don't think of myself as a gullible person, but I was in England. I was at my mother's house, and she was out, and I was in, and the phone rang.
Yeah.
So you know, it's my mother's phone. I don't really think about it. I answer the phone, and there's this guy. He's clearly Indian from India. Yeah. He's in India, 100% Indian. I'm in England. He's Indian, and he tells me this thing, which I can't even remember quite what it was now. But it was, oh my God, it's even more embarrassing. There was this, no, it was a crazy scam. It's like the Indian government has decided to give money to a handful of people in the UK for services to.
Did he say that, Cam?
So I swear he did. He did. And my mother was out.
We're silently judging Cam now.
I know. Oh my God. Well, my mother was out, and I was thinking, well, maybe my mother's expecting this call. I don't know. And okay. And so all you have to do is we need to put the money into your bank account. Well, okay. Go get your computer. I'll talk you through it. So I got my mother's computer. He said, you know, put download this, press that. And wow. I was about to press the last button, and it crossed my mind, wait a second. If I press this button, my mother's computer, it will become a slave computer.
Yeah.
And this guy will have complete access to
all of the information.
To everything.
Yeah.
And I was Googling and talking to him at the same time. It's like, sure enough, it's a complete scam, obviously. And I start talking to him. And he puts the phone down on me eventually. And when I was staying at my mother's house, every day somebody from India would call and say, the Indian government wants to give a certain number of people in the UK. And to this day, I feel so ashamed. I was so close to this.
I know, and it's shocking, right? Because actually, you know, if they keep trying these things, you know, say, you know, 1 out of 10 people actually fall for it, right? And that's, they're playing on their chances, right?
Well, so, but they were specifically, who uses a landline these days? Right, old people.
Right. So, they call it the landline, right? They target, so they know,
yeah. They know their audience, person, right?
Yeah. And then they know that old people are not too great with their computers, and you can easily talk them through how to do this particular thing.
Yeah.
So there must be so many old people who
have been scammed.
Scammed because, you know, you don't know. Yeah. You don't. The modern world is changing so fast. You know, maybe this is how people do things these days.
And it's really sad because, I mean, you know, every day you see the that public services complaints bureau guy, that Dato' Michael, MCA guy, where every day someone
since the '90s. carry on.
I mean, he's in the newspaper every day because people go to him for help.
Yeah,
you know, saying, you know, I've got this Casanova who, you know, said to appear at the airport, and he asked me to bank in 100,000 ringgit just so I could get him out, but then he suddenly disappeared. But people are falling for these things.
There are a lot of scammers on like these dating apps. Me, a lot of my friends have like fallen victim.
Wow,
catfishing things,
but not to the point where, you know, they've transferred the money, but, you know, it's the same story. Hey, I'm going to come visit you. And then, like, I'm stuck at the airport. I just need to pay this amount of money. Can you, like, bank it in my account? And, like, so, like, there have been cases where these women, they, you know, they put in the money and then these guys, like, don't turn up.
Yeah. They've never met them before.
Yeah,
right?
They never met them.
Yeah.
But they're really, like, really... I mean, I've heard stories. They're really good. Like, I mean, these are like my friends who are very like intelligent women, but they're very, very good. It's very well sort of like orchestrated. Yeah.
But it's appealing to their desperation, their loneliness.
Loneliness, yeah. But also even guys get it as well.
Yeah, well, guys can be desperate and lonely too, you know. Quite common.
I mean, look at this the psychology of it, right? So they really know who their target is, and they really know how to play on the emotions.
But what specific emotions are the ones, the winner emotions? See, in the case of, say, my mother's one, it's ignorance.
Ignorance. It could be, you know, a get-rich-quick scheme. It could be a, you know, a heartbroken,
you know, lonely
person. Yeah. Right? So there's a lot of different, you know, methods and that they try to get you with.
So a friend of mine, like, I mean, she showed me, like, the text exchange, right? And it's so real. Like, she'd say something like, oh, yeah, I've been watching, like, this series on Netflix, and the guy chimes in and he talks about the series, and it's, you would really believe, like, it's an actual person. They're really good. They've really stepped up their game. Yeah. They probably go, like, scam university, like Donald Trump's university. I don't know.
Yeah. And then nothing.
And then nothing. And then they do that whole, I'm going to come visit you.
But your friends, they feel guilty, ashamed.
They feel embarrassed. I think the whole idea of like, I can't believe I was that gullible. I can't believe like.
Yeah.
But I, you know, I tell them like, don't feel bad because judging by the text, why wouldn't you believe, you know?
Why would somebody lie?
Why would somebody lie, you know?
Yeah. So, Zalfian, I'm sensing that you think that you could never fall for this stuff.
No, I agree. Yeah, I don't think I could fall for it.
No, why?
I'm very skeptical.
Right?
I think if anything is too good to be true, it's not true. And, and I think just remain vigilant, I think.
Yeah. Okay, I said.
Remain vigilant.
I'm going to set a challenge to a bit of culture listeners, both of you, to think up a scam and get Zalfian Fuzi to part with $1,000. Okay, that is your challenge.
Challenge accepted.
Yeah. So we're going to move on though, and good luck, folks out there. Don't fall for these things like I almost did. But in a moment, we're going to be talking about. It's a brand new thing. It's called K-pop. It's going to be here on A Bit of Culture, BFM 89.9. And we're back with myself, Cam Ruslan, Charmaine Othman, and Zalfian Fuzi. And now, Charmaine.
Yes.
K-pop.
K-pop. So I've been the latest victim.
to the South Korean scam.
Yeah, this K-pop scam. Oh, you know, you think you're not going to fall into the, you know, the mania, but then it happened to me. So I recently just got into Blackpink, thanks to my 13-year-old niece.
For old people like Zalfian,
I have no idea.
Who is Blackpink?
Okay, so Blackpink is a K-pop girl group. There are four members. One is from Korea. One is Korean, but she's Australian.
Oh, yeah.
Another is Korean from New Zealand. And another one is a Thai. She's Thai.
Oh.
So basically, Blackpink falls under. So, okay, this is where I start. So after the Korean War, sort of like, you know, to regenerate the economy, the government decided, okay, we're going to focus on three things, cars, technology, and entertainment.
Mm.
So it was very, they really wanted to like, you know, push Korean culture. So they've even got like under the Ministry of Culture, they have a K-pop department.
Wow.
Yeah. So Blackpink, so Blackpink is under YG Entertainment. It's like a big entertainment like conglomerate. So YG, they go around the world and they have auditions. So that's why they've got this Korean, Australian, Korean, Kiwi, and this Thai girl. So they formed Blackpink. But it's taken over the world. But I think you mentioned earlier about Rain, right? And so Rain started maybe about 8, 9 years ago. But K-pop was just limited to like, you know, people in Korea. But thanks to the internet, it's grown so much. One of the biggest bands is a K-pop band, BTS. Have you heard of BTS?
I know. Yeah. I know. It's him. He has no clue.
It's a boy band. I've seen it.
Or is it?
Yeah.
Okay. It's a boy band.
Boy band. See?
Yeah. But I was just thinking like, you know, the government trust, they believe in K-pop, you know, and a lot of money, a lot of their budget goes towards K-pop. So they have their own investment fund.
The government.
The government.
Yeah.
And about 20 to 30% goes towards investing towards K-pop.
So like, just let's go out, create more bands.
Create more bands. And it's not just, I'm not just talking bands, I'm talking about TV shows. Yeah. Films.
Oh, that's the whole cultural package.
That's the whole cultural package, right, okay. Not just the bands. That, and right. What's really fascinating is that they really don't have to sacrifice their identity, their language. BTS, Blackpink, they perform in Europe, in America, and they sing in Korean.
Yeah.
Wow.
Apart from the ooh baby, ooh baby kind of.
Ooh baby, ooh baby, yeah.
But Charmaine, you're a sensible, intelligent woman. Why did you fall for this? What happened?
Because they're so good at marketing it. They're so good at packaging it. It is a factory. So before Blackpink, the big K-pop group was 21.
Oh, yeah.
And then 21 was under YG. And it's like these different conglomerates, they have their own style. So YG is more edgy. They're more like gangster. The other conglomerates, they're more like bubble pop kind of like music. Yeah. So YG is more gangster. So there was 21. And, you know, I guess people get tired, then YG starts a new band. So yeah, when the after the Korean War, the government sort of sent many like young Koreans to Europe, to America, to study film, to study music, and sort of invite, you know, and get them to come back and sort of like you know work in the industry. So that's really helped, and the music is really good. Like
it is.
Blackpink has good music. So YG Entertainment actually has a school, an academy. So these girls in Blackpink, they were in the academy for like 5-6 years. They learned how to dance, they learned how to act, they learned how to sing, they learned how to rap. Mm-hmm. They're like really, really good rappers. So I think that's why I've fallen into their trap, because they do it so well. They do it so well. They don't even have to sacrifice their identity, and that's why people like me get sucked into it. Well, yeah.
See, meanwhile though, I was watching. I know what I was watching, but anyway, there was some UK thing, right?
Yeah.
And there was this girl band, and I have to say, after having watched a lot of these K-pop things, this girl band were like steam powered.
Yeah.
They were like sub Spice Girls.
Yeah.
Right? And they were like lumbering around in this sort of like coordinated dance.
Yep.
Where really the dancing just involved kicking one leg out. That was the best they could do. And it did feel so Stone Age compared to the K-pop thing.
Yeah.
But
I ask myself though, like, what is it about Blackpink that I like? Like, why am I so hooked on it? It's just the excessiveness, you know. If you watch their music videos, they go big, they go all out. Where if you see like a lot of music videos coming out from American bands, more minimal, you know, one shot.
Budgets are smaller.
Are smaller. But with K-pop, they go big, they have fun. The music is really, really good.
Is it?
It is. Okay, a lot of people are going to murder me for this. But it's like, they're like, one song is like a modern day Bohemian Rhapsody, where you get hip hop, you get ballad, you get EDM. If you listen to Blackpink's Do 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 and Kill This Love, you get those. Okay. You get
is that
ballad,
the name of the song?
Do, so you're, do, 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 yeah.
You're saying it's value for money as well, then?
Value for money. You get three songs in one song. But no, that is the sort of formula.
Young people then, you know, in my day, obviously, people were. Well, there was no internet then, but you know, the visual stimulations, the kind of things that one wished to emulate would have been coming from the States and coming from the UK. But now everybody is going to be conditioned by K-pop. Yeah.
Exactly. That's the future.
So people are Malaysians. Malaysians Korean.
Like, Malaysians love fanatics, anything Korean. Love Korean stuff.
And I found from my family that Malays in particular are really into Korea.
Korea,
especially a holiday destination. Yeah. It's piggy pig land.
Yeah,
but you know they'll go there.
But they love it also because of the dramas.
The dramas, they love the dramas. They watch the Korean dramas. Melodrama, Winter Sonata. Even the films like Train to Busan did really well here.
I am a big fan of Korean movies. I think they're fantastic. But I do find there's a big disconnect between the kind of grittiness that they try to sell in the movies and the absolute plush cleanliness of the K-pop scene. Yeah. And especially also TV dramas as well.
Mm-hmm. I guess they're very different, right? Music's very like excessive, and then the films are very gritty.
Yeah.
Then the series are very like
pretty kind of.
Yeah. But with everything good, there's also the bad.
Uh-huh.
It's a very controversial industry, actually.
Yeah.
Suicide.
I think there's like so much pressure. These conglomerates put so much rules on the artists.
They're bound for life, right? Like, they have to,
they're not allowed. Like, Blackpink, they're not allowed to have, like, boyfriends, you know? They have these, like, really strict rules. But recently, there's been a scandal with YG Entertainment where the top execs were supplying call girls to like businessmen in Korea, but these call girls are not from the bands, but they were supplying, but it was just how like these girls were all like date raped.
Right.
And recently the YG Entertainment CEO resigned, a guy, and the new CEO took over and it's a woman. So let's see what happens.
Right. Right. Okay. And one thing, one of the very first episodes of Bit of Culture, I've talked about the dancing on K-pop things. And I was saying how that coordinated, perfect precision dancing in the K-pop, these young pretty girls.
Yeah.
It's actually exactly the same thing as watching those organized marches in North Korea. It's the precision that is so mesmerizing.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, at the time of the Korean War and independence, Malaysian GDP was something like double of South Korea.
Wow. And look where they are now. Yeah.
So and Taiwan as well. So anyway, so we move on. Any other bands to look out for? There's Blackpink, whatever's coming on the scene, hey?
Blackpink.
Just Blackpink.
Just Blackpink.
Okay. You're just so young and trendy. we move on, though. Final part of the show, recommendations. We recommend something I think might be of interest. I'm going to go first. And because you did such hip work with K-pop, I'm going to do something even just as hip, which is the Malaysian branch of the Royal Asiatic Society.
Wow.
It's been around since like the 1880s, and I have only just joined. And I want to recommend everybody to go and join because... what you get for your 50 ringgit is twice a year you get a book, a journal, and historians and anthropologists and whatnot, historians really, write articles in there about things that they've been studying, papers, I think it's called. And it's absolutely fascinating. Apparently there are about 370 of us.
Oh, wow.
Umbras, people, and we are the elite of the elites. It must be. But... I want everyone else to join because it's such a great thing.
Royal.
It's the Malaysian branch of the Royal Asiatic Society.
Right. Umbra. Right.
And you're not going to do it, are you? You're mocking
me. Look, I'm already like, K-pop,
Okay.
K-pop slave.
Okay, Zalfian.
Well, so this past month, I got a year older. So I've had some time to reflect on things like life and family and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
So, and also in the past month, I've actually had to attend a few funerals, which is very, very sad. And, one of the things that I realized, having my sister visit once a year, which she did last month, was, spend time with family. That's my recommendation.
Aww.
And because life is short and you never know what will happen in the future and time is running out. So as much as you can, spend time with your loved ones and make sure you tell them how much you love them.
Well, family and loved ones are not necessarily the same thing.
That's true.
But Charmaine, you're pretty close with your family, aren't you?
Yeah, I actually agree with Zalfian because we just sort of celebrated Hari Raya.
Yeah.
And I spent a lot of time with them. And I think you kind of realize it's really unconditional love.
Yeah.
Yeah, the energy is very different than when you're hanging out with friends.
It's a different kind of love.
Yeah.
Aww. Aww. You're softy there, Zalfian. Okay, so that's hang out with your family.
Yeah.
Good luck, everyone.
Our loved ones.
Charmaine.
I think everyone knows what I'm going to recommend. Just listen to Blackpink. I will list down my 5 top Blackpink songs.
Is that 1 or 5?
That's one. That's the right, one, okay. Song. Kill This Love.
Okay.
Yeah. Playing With Fire.
Uh-huh.
Don't Know What to Do Without You. Uh-huh. And Really. Yeah.
Really.
So really, okay. Yeah. These are my favorite Blackpink songs. Just one thing that I will also recommend. Once you listen to Blackpink, is to go to YouTube and watch reaction videos of people from around the world watching Blackpink. And then you sort of get the idea, the scale of this K-pop craze. You see people in Russia, in France, like, you know, get going crazy about these K-pop bands. So yeah, just step into the K-pop world.
Okay. But producer Ali still. Oh, he's relenting. Oh, okay.
He's gonna do it. He's gonna
okay,
do it.
Which one? Charmaine, get him while it's hot. Which one? Did he play?
Oh my god! Yay! this is my ultimate favorite Blackpink song, "Playing with Fire."
Okay. Wow. That's amazing. Well done. And so that brings us neatly to the end of this week's show. And only remains me now to thank special honored guests Zafian Fuzi.
Thank you.
And Charmaine Othman.
Thank you.
And with myself, Cam Raslan. And we're going to play out with
"Playing with Fire"
by Blackpink here on A Bit of Culture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.